Welcome to another episode of Thinking Like a Bank, where we show you how to think like a bank by applying the same strategies and principles that banks use to help you find more financial freedom in your life. I'm your host, Sari Ibrahim.
Today, I'm interviewing Scott Mayers. Scott and his affiliated companies focus on the acquisition, development, and syndication of self-storage facilities nationwide. He currently owns and operates over 2.4 million square feet and over 14,000 units nationwide. The education organization SelfStorageInvesting.com provides courses, tools, live events, and mentoring to help others launch their own self-storage business to enjoy a lifestyle, as he has coined, free from tenants, toilets, and trash.
Scott, welcome to our podcast.
Sorry, so good to be here. Good to see you.
Thanks for joining us. I'm excited to interview you, get to know you. I know we're going to talk about self-storage investing, what it is, how does it work. But before that, I want to know more about you and your background.
Yeah. So got started in real estate like probably most people, and that's with one house, a single family house. So I this is going way back, probably even before you might have even been born. Sorry. I watched the Carlton Sheets program on late night cable and bought his home study system back in 1993, and went through the program, bought my first house, no money down. I assumed a VA mortgage, which those are pretty much non-existent these days, and then started the Burr Method before it was called the Burr Method. So we rehabbed it, refinanced it, rented it out, and then put double down, got two more houses just like that. And then we continued on, had about 80 houses, and then got into apartments. We had about 423 apartments across four different complexes here in central Indiana. But then just recognized and realized that I really didn't like the tenant and toilet business. And so, like everybody, you know, we love rental real estate if it weren't for the tenants and toilets, right? So I began looking across the landscape, and the only way to be, well, two of the only ways to be involved in rental real estate without that is parking lots and self-storage, you know, where we're just storing stuff or you're just parking cars. Well, there's not a lot of value to be created in parking lots. And so I began to dig into the self-storage model and just love what I saw. If people don't pay, you lock them out. It's legal to do so. And then you sell their stuff off, which is also legal to do after 90 days. And, you know, when they move out, it's a concrete slab with a metal box around it. There's not a lot of damage they can do. There isn't the tent, the toilets, there isn't the carpet, there isn't the paint, the drywall. And so from those two standpoints alone, I was just like, yeah, I'm sold. I'm in. So we sold literally everything else off the houses, apartments, and gone full bore into self-storage. And so that was 2005 was when I bought my first one. And then from then we sold everything else off. And to date, we have purchased, we've acquired, we've developed, we've converted industrial buildings into self-storage. We've just went across the 4 million square foot mark and 25,000 units. So hit a milestone here this last quarter, and we're looking forward to 2023. Self-storage does, it outperforms all the other asset classes during a recession, and has for the past, you know, 30 years, for the past three recessions. And so everybody knows, and all eyeballs are on self-storage right now. And so we got a lot of competition. And the good news is, however, there's a lot of money coming out of Wall Street that is syndicating with us. And we've been doing this longer than just about anybody else. And we got a track record about better than most out there. And so we're just hitting our stride, and we're loving the business right now and looking forward to a stellar 2023.
And why is it that it's recession proof? Like, what are some parts of it that I guess make it that way, or help protect against a recession?
Yeah. So nothing is recession proof, but very recession resistant. And that is because individuals downsize during a recession. They lose their jobs. One wage earner loses a job, or, you know, somebody who's out on their own, they have to go back and live with their parents or a friend, or they downsize into a smaller home or smaller living arrangements, and they put their extra stuff in storage. Businesses, the same thing. This is cheap warehouse space. And so if you have to sublease some business space to, you know, lease it out to somebody else, since your business is shrunk, or if you lose your lease and you have to go back to working from home or a Starbucks, then there's business equipment. There is inventory that goes into storage because it's just cheap space until things turn back around again. So, you know, self-storage traditionally is known as being in the trauma and transition business. And, you know, when there's trauma in the economy or transition, and when people are moving, or if you have a flood in your basement, or, you know, during a recession when things downsize and people are squeezed, yeah, extra stuff goes into storage. You're not going to sell it all, but it goes into storage. And so that's why it does so well during a recession.
Yeah, this whole time, every time I come across self-storage, I always think of it as like for personal items. But you just mentioned businesses too. Businesses use self-storage as well.
Yeah, 25 to 50%, depending upon the facility and the location where it is, and where it's located and the demographics around it. 25 to 50% is going to be businesses for business use as well. And there's some people who kind of, you know, they don't run their business out of a storage unit, but, you know, their inventories there, these Amazon drop shippers or eBay folks, or, you know, anybody that the Matco tool truck drivers, I mean, you name it. There's just a number of folks that are storing inventory, you know, or they're kind of running a business out of here. And then they do the paperwork side of it, you know, the true operation side of their business. Again, from the kitchen table or from Starbucks or from their truck or from one of our offices that they can lease out up front or utilize one of our business spaces as well. And, you know, we're moving back into that economy again, where, you know, people are pretty mobile and they don't have a lot of office space and most of the business is inventory stored somewhere else.
So you guys can either find, like, as far as your company, you can either find them for sale, acquire them, or you could develop them, like new construction. Or it could even be like a rezoning or restructuring if it's industrial, like converting it into self-storage.
Yeah, there's a, you know, we've seen a lot of repurposing of buildings. You know, the, you know, retail died during COVID. A lot of it did. And so there's a lot of not only just retail strip centers and buildings, but also grocery stores. You know, they move around, the demographics change in neighborhoods. And, you know, Amazon has put the squeeze on lots of retailers and traditional businesses. And so some of those spaces are great opportunities for us to be able to come in and repurpose them. They're already in great locations, what we call an infill location, you know, around a neighborhood, you know, high density populated residential area. So if the zoning is already commercial or industrial and we can just get a variance for storage, then yeah, that's what we like. The building's already there. It's been depreciated, so we can buy it on the cheap. And then we just put up the walls and doors inside and put a new sign out front and we're off to the races.
Awesome. And then, like, as far as like, if you were, I guess, kind of going through the internal rate of return, typical holding period, can you tell us more about that? Like, for example, $50,000 investment, what would that typically yield?
Yeah, so you know, that varies obviously with from sponsor to sponsor, from asset class to asset class, and is also largely dependent upon interest rates and obviously cap rates at the time. And so our track record, we have been syndicating and putting these projects together for the past 15 years. And so through the recession and heading into this one, you know, we've done close to 50 projects, and we've seen them front to back. In other words, we've bought them, we've developed them, we've converted them, and gone from entry to exit. And for those projects over the past 15 years and about 40 projects, we've done about 50, 40 have been realized. Our average IRR for our investor is 37%. So that is double the industry average. And well, we're quite proud of what our team has done in that. Our projections are usually in the 20 to 22% range, because we're finding and developing some very strong projects. And we're of the mindset, I'd rather raise the capital quickly and do multiple projects. And so for that, we do give a larger percentage and higher returns to our investors, which allows us to be able to do more deal flow. And so we have a lot of repeat investors. And again, at that 37% IRR, that is what keeps folks coming back to us and allows us to do what we do so quickly.
And what are some typical, like, cash on cash returns on an annual basis?
Yeah, those are upwards of our projections are upwards of 22 to 25%. And then at the end of the day, those end up being closer to a mid to high 20s and sometimes around 30% cash on cash.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Makes sense. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then what areas are you in? Like, which markets?
Yeah, we're concentrated primarily in the Southeast. And so Florida, Georgia, North, South Carolina, Tennessee, we go as far as Dallas. And then we do have a number of one-off projects that we've done in Colorado, two in Washington, one in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan. So I'm located here in the Midwest. And so we've got a gaggle of properties up here. But most of the concentration is where the population is heading and has been heading for a while, which is the Sun Belt states.
Good. And then let's just say somebody right now was on, like, the fence. They want to invest. You know, they have, let's just say, IRA from a previous employer. They have, like, let's just say $400,000 in there. They see the stock market. It's not that right now, this time of year, it's not the best place to be. So they want to kind of move, let's just say, like, $100,000 from that into a self-directed IRA to invest in self-storage. What are some things you would tell them to look out for, like, before they invest? Yeah. And what are some things to look to learn and look out for?
Yeah, well, I don't think you can do too much homework. So what we tell our folks, you know, we teach on this too. We have an education company. We teach people how to invest both actively and passively in self-storage. And for those that are looking to invest passively, you know, you need to vet your sponsors. And, you know, what we say is that, you know, have they done what they've said that they're going to do? You know, have they successfully over the years be able to purchase or develop create that value and then exit? And did they meet or exceed the projections? You know, there's a whole lot of folks out there that have raised a lot of money over the past several years, but they haven't realized that they haven't sold anything yet. And they haven't been through a recession. So there's no substitute for the sponsors, ourselves, our team. And yeah, I'll point back to us, but anybody else like us that's been through a recession, you know, that's been doing this for 15 or 20 years, you know, folks like us and others out there, you know, we just have the ability to see a little further down the road, and we don't know exactly what's coming because every recession is different, but we know how to navigate it because we've been through it before. And so I think if you're going to invest passively with anyone, no matter who it is, I heard a guy say this one time at a family office event. He said, if I'm a soldier, I'm not going to go into battle unless I am following a general who walks with a limp. And I think there's a lot of merit in that. So you want to invest with somebody who's been through a recession. You know, they've had to have those, you know, horrible conversations with lenders. You know, they've had to suck it up and do a capital call of their own money to make things work. They've had to have difficult conversations with the limited partners that they're investing with. And they've probably been through a lot of you know, big challenges. But what that allows you to do is to lean back on that experience. You see it when it's coming and you know how to handle it, and you know how to communicate that well to your investors. Somebody who, for the first time, they may freeze, they may not know what to do, and they don't communicate with their investors. And that is the wrong thing to do. So I just to summarize, somebody who's been through it, who's got experience, and also has done well, they've exceeded their projections, and they got a track record and a history to prove it.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's, I think in this business, as well as other types of asset classes, and you could even stretch it into financial services, it's definitely about the people who are involved, not necessarily the asset class or the technology.
Right.
Or
100%. It's the jockey, not the horse.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Do you have like material people, do you have like books, articles, things like that people could read, learn more about you guys, learn more about what you're doing?
If you Google Scott Myers and Self Storage, there's 36,000 impressions on us out there, last count on the internet. So yeah, there's a few things, but if you go to selfstorageinvesting.com, that is all things self storage. And we have a lot of white papers, ton of videos and free resources, you know, things to look at if you're looking to invest actively, if you want to do what we do in self storage, and then also passively, you know, there's a lot of links to look at our funds and our direct investments. And for those folks, like you mentioned, you know, they have the self-directed IRA, they have multiple ways to be able to partner alongside of us. And quite honestly, a lot of folks invest alongside of us passively, and then they end up learning how to do it actively through the other side of our business as well. And it's a great way to learn how to do it as well. But all things self-storage over there. And then, you know, that's got access to all our videos on our YouTube channel and everywhere else.
Got it. And they can connect with you personally through that website, self-storage.
Absolutely. Yep. Selfstorageinvesting.com. Yep.
Be sure to add in the links below in the show notes. And it was nice getting to know you and learning about what you guys are doing. I'm looking forward to bringing you back on the podcast in the future.
Awesome. I'd love to. Sorry. Good to get to know you as well.
Thanks, Scott. To learn more about what we do and how we can help you grow more wealth, please visit www.finassetprotection.com. That's F-I-N assetprotection.com. The topics presented in this podcast are for general information only and not for the purposes of providing legal, accounting, or investment advice. On such matters, please consult a professional who knows your specific situation.